single word we're going to pull out tonight and look at it, and as you will, in this aspect of just and looking at a word in the Bible and what it is and what it means. And some words in the Bible have a peculiar yet amazing understanding of how important it is to understand and see some of these words in the Bible and the context that God puts them in. And such is a word that we're going to look at tonight in this passage of Scripture. So follow along, please. ...of this passage, and so follow along tonight as I read. And notice what the Bible says. It says, "And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them." Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad for the great mercy of the Lord? And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they brought them forth abroad, he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said unto him, "See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, of that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for the Bible tonight. Thank you for just a time when we can gather and study and hear it preached and open up to us, Lord. I just ask your blessings tonight as we open up the Bible. And Lord, just use thy word tonight in a powerful, amazing way. We give you freedom, Lord, tonight to meet with us in this place tonight. And we ask that you'd help us to open our hearts to you and to thy word as we give it tonight. Lord, we'll be careful to thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm sure that you were probably trying to pick out which word that was. And since there's over 100 of them, I'm sure you had a difficult time. So I'm just going to let you know and see how many of you already guessed it. It's found in the verse number 24. Verse 24. "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven." And I want to speak on the word brimstone. Brimstone. Now, you might be saying, what in the world is brimstone? But before I tell you what it means, if you don't already know, I want you to know that this word, brimstone, is used in the Bible 14 times. And what's interesting about the word is that it's dotted all the way here from Genesis chapter 19 the first time it's given in the Bible. And the word is dotted all throughout the scriptures, right through the New Testament. And the last time the word brimstone is used, it's used in Revelation chapter 21, which is almost the very last chapter of the Bible. Now, that spans a time of about 6,000 years from the first time God put the word brimstone in his word to the last time that God put this word brimstone in his word. Now, something else about this word brimstone is that the word brimstone always, in all 14 verses of scripture, the word brimstone in all 14 scriptures, they go together with one word, and that one word is the word fire. Where there is brimstone, there is fire. The two go hand in hand together. Now, in the passage that we read here, we know this is the story that God saw the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw that it was great, and he chose to judge the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah. He chose to come down, and really it was because there was an unrepentant heart in the people there, and they had gone to wickedness. When there's no repentance, it just drifts into wickedness, deep, deep wickedness. That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah here in this passage. And so God sent down what's called fire and brimstone. Now, I think we all have heard of this phrase, fire and brimstone, before. How many have ever heard the phrase of a hellfire and brimstone preacher? Have you ever heard of that? I think we've all heard of that. And I kind of want to be a picture of that in some respects myself. Amen? Because I believe and understand that there is truly a true judgment someday, that God is going to judge his people. There's no way of escaping that. And for us as preachers to miss the importance of God's judgment would be a miss. Would be a miss and not right according to scripture. So the word brimstone. Now what is the word brimstone? The word brimstone is the word that we get in our English language of sulfur. Sulfur. It is that yellow hard sulfuric type of hard rock, and it comes from heated places in the ground with, and it's mixed with poisonous gases, like in volcanoes. You go in volcanoes and you look and you'll see a yellow ring around a volcano, the water. You'll see yellow in volcanoes. What is that? That is sulfur. And sulfur has an unusual smell. It smells like rotten eggs. How many of you have ever smelled rotten eggs? Woo! I bet if you're a farmer with chickens, you've had rotten eggs before. Amen? But this is what it is. It's a yellow hard substance. It can be ground into powder. Some interesting facts about brimstone. Did you know that sulfur is the third most abundant mineral in the human body? You have sulfur in your body right now. No, not because you've been out chewing on a block of sulfur, but because it is one of these ingredients that just we get in our food, we get it in a lot of things, and it is an ingredient, third most abundant mineral in the human body. It is formed by heated gases that come from within the earth. It cannot form any other way but poisonous and noxious gases that come from the center of the earth. It is a very funny thing, because there are certain creatures that are totally repulsed by sulfur. When I lived in Texas, We lived out in the country, and we had a problem with copperhead snakes out in the country. And somebody told us one day, go down, buy a bag of sulfur, and spread it around the perimeter of your property. So we went down, got a bag of sulfur, and we spread that thing around the perimeter of the property. And after that, we did not have any problems because snakes do not like sulfur. And now it's formed this way. In the Bible here, what's interesting about sulfur, and I've asked myself this question, why does God put sulfur and or brimstone and fire together? Why do we always see the two together in Scripture? Sometimes you see fire and you don't see brimstone, but you never see brimstone, but what it's not connected with fire. And I believe the reason for that is because brimstone can actually be ignited and it can actually burn. You can take a chunk of brimstone, put a match to it, light a match to it. And by the way, did you know that that's what causes the strike of a match to light? There is sulfur in it. And it causes that lump of sulfur to burn. And as it burns with a blue flame, and it actually drips down like candle wax until it becomes completely dissolved. Now, in the passage of Scripture here, in Genesis chapter 19, we find this place, this location, where the Bible tells us that Sodom and Gomorrah here were destroyed. He said it happened with fire and brimstone. Now, there's an interesting place over in on the Jordanian side of the River Jordan. On that side is where Sodom and Gomorrah was. On that side, it is known as the cities of the plains. In that place, the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, were there, and they were destroyed. You can go on an expedition, you can literally go over there, and you can see this, the earth there is totally scorched, it's totally gone, hardly anything lives there. It's just a dry, barren area, and part of that's because it's below sea level there, and very little grows right there, very little grows on it, but all around it, you will see some interesting things. One of the interesting things in that area is that you will see broken pieces of pottery that have a glaze on one side, and then you flip them over, and they are just like a normal piece of broken pottery. Well, scientists have examined that and taken a look at that, and they found out that there in this place, there is that can only happen by putting the glaze on one side. That can only happen by extreme heat of over 4,000 degrees. That's pretty hot. That's really hot. And that sulfur will burn on the top of that, and on the other side you turn over, it is like normal. Now, some of them said, oh, well, that's because the glazing process of the pottery when it was made, they put a glaze on it. But the problem is that you can't get a glaze, that kind of glaze, that hot. It has to have an extremely hot fire to it. And brimstone adds to fire and increased heat. Also there, you can take brimstone, you can find chunks of sulfur like softballs or baseball-sized chunks lying all over the ground there. And you can pick one up. And by the way, sulfur does not naturally come in on top of barren mountains. It had to get there for some purpose. But you can go to this place where Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. You can pick up these balls of sulfur. They're everywhere. And you can take them and you can ignite them and watch them drip like a candle. Very interesting thing about these places. Now, I want to tell you, God oftentimes does things to conditionally add so that man cannot go against his word. I think God does certain things just to make men look foolish. You know the Matterhorn Mountain? You know, the evolutionists have this idea that all earth was formed in layers, and down at a certain layer is a certain age, up is a certain age, until you reach the top of the ground. It's all these ages of land. Well, you know, the Matterhorn is turned upside down, and the ages of the Matterhorn are completely opposite of the ages that evolutionists say should fit in the earth. I think God does things like that just to make man look dumb sometimes.
Amen.
Amen. And for God also to put balls of sulfur right where he said he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Can I tell you what? Sulfur cannot come from any other way but noxious gases coming from the earth. And when it does come from the earth, it literally comes in chunks and large pieces. And so I'm saying to you tonight that this idea of brimstone added with sulfur was the plan. It was a design of God to show and make clear to the world and to make clear that God is a God that is true, he's a God of righteousness, and that he is a God that will always make sure his word is true. God's going to do that. God's going to do that. We see brimstone and fire always together. Now let me say secondly tonight, the word brimstone ties the Old Testament together with the New Testament understanding of what hell is. Now here's what I'm trying to say. There are three words. There are different Old Testament words than there are Greek words. The Old Testament word for hell is the word Sheol. Two New Testament words, Hades and Gehenna, are found in Scripture. By the way, both Sheol and Gehenna both mean the same thing, and it means the final abode of the dead. That's what it means. However, Hades has a little bit different understanding to it. But here's the point. The point is that there is a controversial issue about whether the Old Testament Sheol is the same as the New Testament Hades and Gehenna. And so many people, in fact, it's mainly liberals, that try to divide the two and make the two appear as if they're different places and if they're different ideas. Some false religions also try to divide hell up. Why, even the Jehovah's Witnesses even deny the very existence of hell. But here is the point. The point is that in Scripture, in all three locations, some of these 14 verses, whether it's Hades, Sheol, or Gehenna, they all have the word brimstone in there attached to it. You say, now what does that mean? It means that whether it's Hades or Sheol or Gehenna, it's all the same place. It's God explained to us that it's all one place. It's all the same place. There's not two divided off places for the place hell. The Old Testament hell is the same as the New Testament hell. One of the words for hell also is referring to the Valley of Hinnom. The Valley of Hinnom. And the word Gehenna also has that connotation. The Valley of Hinnom was a place on the east side of Jerusalem. In that place, on the east side of Jerusalem, there was a place called a garbage dump, and it was burning night and day. It burned night and day. Now, this is what the Jehovah's Witnesses say hell is. They say that it's this garbage dump outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem. But the problem is that if you go and study out Gehenna, go to Isaiah chapter 30 with me for just a moment. Isaiah chapter number 30. And I want to show you what Scripture's saying here. I want to tie this together. Isaiah chapter 30. And look at verse number 33. Now the prophet Isaiah here, he's prophesying, and he gives us a word. Isaiah 30, look at verse number 33. Isaiah says here in this verse, for Tophet is ordained of old. Now, Tophet is this valley of Hinnom, which is Gehenna. Tophet, it is ordained of old. Yea, for the king it is prepared, for he hath made it deep and large, and the pile thereof is fire and much wood, and the breath of the Lord like a stream of brimstone doth kindle it. Now here's the question. Here's the problem with their belief. If hell, which is Gehenna, in this verse is the valley of Hinnom, if it's a garbage dump, how did all this brimstone get there? That we see in verse number 33. Here's the problem. Again, we go back to understanding a little bit about sulfur and where it comes from, the noxious smell of it. And by the way, it can go out, but when you see it in large quantities, it can be very, very noxious, very, very smoky, and it can put a whole lot of noxious gases into the air. You know, there are people that actually go into volcanoes, they mine out this sulfur, and they bring it away with them and carry it away. And they have to wear gas masks so the noxious gases don't kill them. And that's a job I'm glad God did not call me to have. Amen? So what I'm simply saying to you tonight, in an understanding of sulfur, which is brimstone, it shows us and connects a true picture of what it really is and really what hell is like. Now, I'll be honest with you, hell is an awful place. And John Wesley said that hell is the most infinite punishment an infinite God, infinitely enraged, could ever imagine. You know, we serve a great and loving God. I'm glad we do. But I want to tell you something. When a person rejects Christ, there is a horrible, horrible place called hell that they're going to go to. And that makes me sad. That makes me want to reach out and tell people. And have you ever talked to somebody about the Lord and they just either didn't care or they weren't interested, and you just want to zealously get the truth in their heart, do whatever you have to do to get them to understand. But yet, the devil's blinded the mind. There's just a wall right there that cannot be penetrated. By the way, the Holy Spirit can penetrate a lot of those walls. The Holy Spirit can. But we have to understand here that God takes hell and punishment very seriously. And that God takes his plan and works it out through all of the purposes and the designs that he has. And brimstone is one of those. Now, it may surprise you to know this, but most of the scriptures on brimstone are found in one book of the Bible. 6 of the 14 scriptures are all found in one book of the Bible. That one book of the Bible is the book of Revelation. And here's what it reminds us of, and this is what it's telling us, is that there is a day coming when there will be brimstone more used on this earth. And by the way, every verse in Revelation that talks about brimstone is referring also connected with fire, real fire. Now let's look at a few verses here. And first of all, go with me to Luke chapter number 17. The book of Luke chapter 17. Are you still with me? Luke chapter 17. Notice verse number 26. The Bible says here, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and drank. They married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, one shall be taken and the other shall be left. Two women shall be grinding together, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. And they answered and said unto him, Where, Lord? And he said unto them, Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, what God is saying here through the Apostle Luke, he's saying that there is a day coming. It's not yet here. One of the pictures of the day of Christ when he's returning is all these things that this passage talks about. But he also refers back to the day of Lot, when Lot went out of Sodom, and after it rained fire and brimstone from heaven, and everyone was destroyed. The New Testament here goes back to that incident to remind the people that he's coming again, and that this is an incident that's going to be coming in the future. You see, anyone who lived in the New Testament and anyone who lived during this time knew what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. They all knew what had went on. It was in the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament then. But here in the book of Luke, Jesus is saying it's going to be like that again when the Son of Man comes. Boy, that's a serious day. That's a serious time. And it seems as if in Scripture that this event that goes all the way back to Sodom and Gomorrah was a very big event. Because I didn't even mention to you, I read Isaiah's verse, but there's a verse in Psalms that also talks about fire and brimstone, and also a prophecy in Ezekiel chapter 38 that talks about this prophecy. So I'm simply saying tonight that as it's dotted all through the Bible, from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of the book of Revelation, this truth, this sobering fact of what God not only did in Sodom and Gomorrah, but as a pattern, God will do this again someday on this earth. And boy, I want to tell you something. It behooves us all to make sure we're ready. Amen. It's important to be ready. And I know I'm probably preaching to the choir, and I'm glad about it. I'm glad that you're ready. I'm glad that you know, at least I believe you know, that God is in your heart, that you're saved. But can I tell you what? It's not worth going through any of these things if there's even the slightest knowledge in your mind that you're not saved, that you've never trusted the Lord. So important. Now, I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation, and we're going to look at some of these scriptures tonight as we wrap this up. Look at the book of Revelation, chapter number 19 in your Bible. The book of Revelation, chapter 19, and look at verse number 20. Now, this is talking about the after the marriage supper of the Lamb. These are all the events that are going to go on on this earth right before the second coming of the Lord. And the Lord comes down here in verse number 16, and the Lord steps on the earth here. And then we come to verse number 20. And notice what it says. He's talking about the beast and the false prophet here. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So here's what I'm trying to say tonight. God has an arsenal. He has a purpose that he takes brimstone and he uses it and will use it in the future. Very interesting why God would take a substance like this, and take it and even use it. And by the way, very interesting, if you study how sulfur can be used, you know that it can commingle and intermix with almost all the elements on the chart. The one element that it cannot ever mix with is the element of gold. It can't ever mix or touch anything with gold. I think that's true, because in this passage of Scripture, it's not going to touch any Christian. It's not going to touch the Lord Jesus Christ. That brimstone's only going to touch the beast and the false prophet. Only him, only those two are going to suffer the enormity of the suffering. Now, you know, I don't like to preach on suffering. But I'll tell you what, God's word is true. And God is going to keep his word, and God's word is going to make men look foolish someday. But I believe that God uses this as a purpose to show his people that there is a great and wonderful thing. You know, imagine forever and ever having to smell that noxious gas and the smoke that exists in hell forever and ever. And, you know, hell is such a horrible place that it even affects the sense of smell that comes up in a person's nostrils. Hell's a horrible place. I don't think we can even fathom or want to fathom how bad hell is. But I'm going to tell you something. God takes that word brimstone, and he uses it with fire to explain the enormity his judgment someday. And you know, it's a sobering thing is what it is. It's something that should make us understand that God has a powerful method of judgment for those who reject him and those who hate God. You know, the haters of God someday are going to end up facing God in a horrible, horrible way. And they may laugh today. They may get by with it. They may think, you know, Christianity's a big joke. They may not even care. But I'll tell you what, they're going to find out one day when all the brimstone starts coming down and it's burning with fire everywhere. It's going to be a horrible, horrible thing. And our Bible tells us that this will happen. Now look at Revelation chapter 21. Go over to Revelation 21 with me real quickly. Notice verse number 8. Verse number 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Oh, that's a horrible place. You see, sin causes a person to end up in this place. But may I tell you what? When sin's forgiven, you don't have to worry about this. Amen. When it's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, there becomes a new and a wonderful odor in the life of the Christian. Go to Philippians chapter 4 with me. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Notice the difference here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, "But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Ah, can you see the difference? The sweetness of the smell that rises in the nose of God when you and I serve him and when you and I love him. The Apostle Paul here receives these gifts from God's people. And in his receiving of their sacrifice, he says it brings an odor of a sweet smell. It brings an odor of a sweet smell. You know, the serving of the Lord Jesus Christ is very comparable to this. It is a sweet-smelling odor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. To just live for him, to live every day. What a contrast from brimstone. How different it is when you're serving God. This is this sweet smell. It's like taking the difference of perfume and smelling that perfume contrasted with this smell of rotten eggs. And you know, it's interesting how even God has an interest in what we smell and how the smelling in our life goes. You know, I love to go into places where there's just beautiful smelling things. I don't even mind going into a store sometimes. You ever go in the store and they put all the perfume right in the front? It's all there. And man, you walk in the door and you're headed somewhere else. You're going to get a pair of socks. And on your way to the socks, you smell this. You say, "What is that? Ooh, that smells good. Ooh, what kind of perfume you got on tonight? Smells pretty good. Yeah. Ooh, there's that good smell. Contrast it with the odor of brimstone, which will be really the scent." How horrible. You know, serving God is a joy and a blessing right down to the very scent of serving the Lord Jesus. It is a wonderful thing to walk in the scent of God, a sweet-smelling savor contrasted to the power of God and the evil of brimstone. So I say to you tonight that God has a plan for everything. And the 2 points that I take from this is, number one, it's a reminder of God's grace to the saved. You see, God has withheld and will withhold from us all the fire and the brimstone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's withheld all of it. We don't have to spend 1 second there. Not a split second. But secondly, it also reminds us of the seriousness of rejecting Christ. You don't want to reject Christ. You want to make sure you're saved. And you know what? Even if you doubt your salvation, which I don't want you to doubt it, but even if a Christian does doubt it, you know what? You ought to get it settled. Get it settled. So you can live with the sweet smell of serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In your life. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. Let's close our eyes tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And I know this hasn't been necessarily a salvation message, but you know, the Bible even tells us that some are saved by fear, pulling them out of the fire. And I wonder, maybe there's someone here tonight that does not know Christ as your Savior. And maybe there's somebody tonight listening online that is not saved and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Why don't you open your heart up to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Ask him to come in and save you. Ask him to come in and wash those sins away and take you to heaven. And miss all of those evil things that will happen to the ungodly. God wants you to miss it all. Jesus came so that you and I might know him and know how to be saved. And if you'll open up your heart right now and pray that sinner's prayer, ask God to come into your heart and save you and take you to heaven, friend, he will. He will do that. Lord, thank you for your goodness tonight. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to endure some things. But Lord, thank you for the sweet smell and the sweet savor that you are. You're the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. And Lord, thank you so much tonight for thy word, what you've given to us in salvation. Help us to hold it dear. Lord, may we have a heart full of gratitude. And Lord, if there's one that's not saved tonight, help them to come. Help them to be saved. Before it's too late, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's stand together with our heads bowed.